As we continue on the study about that other feast, that other feast of unleavened bread, reasons to not keep the early summer feast, unleavened bread, most feast keepers, even feast keepers, will protest against keeping the entire feast of unleavened bread. One reason, that some Jews may have observed only the first and the last days of unleavened bread. As we have seen, the examples in the scripture do not support that at all. We don't see in scripture where any Jews, Isaiah, none of them, where any of them had only kept the first and last days of unleavened bread. And realistically, it took a day to walk 20 miles. Most people who came to Jerusalem for the feasts lived farther away than 20 miles, an average of 40 miles. So if you walked back home after the first high day, you'd get there just in time to turn around and walk back to the temple for the last high day. You'd walk 2 days to get to the feast, keep a day or two, then walk back home for 2 days. Maybe rest on a weekly Sabbath, then walk 2 days back to the temple, keep the last high day of unleavened bread, and walk 2 days back home. Such a feast mixes flat bread and puffy feet. The real reason not to keep the early summer feast, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, for the whole week is the same reason the church, the Evangelifish Church, forsook it to begin with. That it's too difficult to do in this society. It's the opposite of Christmas. Ever think how easy it is to keep Christmas in this society? It comes at you from all sides. From months and months before the winter solstice, constantly from the media, from the schools, churches, and your families. Very difficult not to keep Christmas. Then consider the scriptural feasts. Even the word feast itself, feast day itself, can be offensive to people. How many believers have you heard say and discuss those old Jewish feasts? Christmas is 3 months of preparation and then 1 day of observing. And then who knows how many months in trying to recover your Visa card that's been charged over and over. People really start shopping in earnest the day after Thanksgiving, the biggest shopping day of the year. The feasts, on the other hand, take up not just 1 day, but about a whole month in travel and observing. If you add all the feasts together, they take about a whole month. Does taking out a month for Yahva seem like a whole lot of time to you? Yahva does covet our time. Yes. And some denominations who did keep the feasts properly, they will never go back to observing the whole Feast of Unleavened Bread. They slave under the law of denominational decline. The law of denominational decline, that if a church corporation can only make major changes toward less obedience, not greater obedience, if they would change toward greater obedience, they would lose some of their members. And the first law of ecclesiastical rule is, don't lose members. So they can never go back. The United, the Philadelphia, the Living Church of God, and similar tightly organized Church of God denominations will not do it. So they cannot observe the whole Feast of Unleavened Bread, but you can. Reasons for keeping the Feast of Unleavened Bread, that other feast. When you hear sputtering protests amongst the pitter-pattering Protestants against keeping the whole Feast of Unleavened Bread, perhaps those excuses are coming from yourself. Realize that the basic motivation for these protests is a deep desire to avoid Yahva. The person who doesn't want to keep the feast for 7 days does not want to spend that time with Yahva. And we'd rather reserve our vacation time for going to some far country or to the South Pacific, or maybe to get those projects done around the house. But if you're really hungry to spend the week with Yahva instead of doing the job, you'll search for some way to do it. You'll not look for an excuse not to be with Yahva. You'll use your strainer to find some reason to be with him. And Yahva gives you a good one since he commanded you to do it. And there is a greater reason to spend the whole Passover week with Yahovah. Psalm 42, verse 1-4. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for thee, O Yahweh. My soul thirsts for Yahweh, for the living Yahweh. When shall I come and appear before Yahweh? I'll give you a little reason for observing the whole Feast of Unleavened Bread. You should observe the whole festival, because you might want very much to spend that time with your beloved Father. See, as the heart pants after the water brook, so pants my soul after thee, O Yah. My soul thirsts for Yahweh, for the living Yah. When shall I come and appear before Yahweh? Of course, you know the answer to that question. We're told in Exodus and in Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy when we shall appear before Yahweh. Verse 3, Psalm 42, my tears have been my meat day or night and day, while they continually say unto me, where is your sovereign? When I remember these things, oh, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with a multitude. I went with them to the house of Yahweh, with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept feast day. Powerful, isn't it? And the next chapter talks about tabernacles. And why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in Yah, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my sovereign. Psalm 81 talks about another feast. It's not the feast of Passover, but we could possibly think about it as we read Psalm 81. First few verses there. Sing aloud, O Yahweh, unto Yahweh our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the mighty one of Jacob. Take a psalm and bring hither the timbrel and pleasant harp with a psaltery. Blow up the trumpet in the new moon, in the time appointed on our solemn feast day. For this is a statute for Yisrael and a law of the sovereign of Jacob. So that's talking about Yom Teruah, the feast of blowing of trumpets, and then Psalm 84 is about Sukkot. Psalm 84 about Sukkot there. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Yahweh of hosts, or armies. My soul longs, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of Yahweh. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living Yahweh. Yet the sparrow has found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Yahweh of hosts, my king and my sovereign, or my husband. Blessed are they that dwell, blessed are they that tabernacle in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them. And in the living scriptures, you can read that for that particular passage there. The feasts take up just one day, but, oh, and then another day. And oh, we get to spend quality time with Yahweh. Oh, let's look at Psalm 63, verse 1. We're in such a dry and thirsty land, and we need to be satisfied. Come to Yahweh and receive from him the rivers of life, the living waters. Psalm 63, O Yahweh, thou art my mighty one. Early will I seek thee, my soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longs for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Well, at least where there's no spiritual water. There's a famine for hearing the word of Yahweh. You know, not for food so much, but there's a famine for the word of Yahweh. I think it says there in Amos. Not sure on that. And to see thy power and thy esteem, so as I have seen thee in the set-apart place, in the Mikdash, in the temple of Yahweh, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee, will I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. That was a portion of Psalm 63. My sister, we are in a dry and thirsty land. The sins of Satan or Ha-Satan are sweeping the world as never before. Society is filled with violence and filth coming at us from all directions. Sodomy, as we know by looking at the political temperature, the political calendar out there, Satan's ultimate lifestyle, sodomy, is to celebrate the liberal politics in the Western world. The media, the programming, lets Satan send swirl to every corner of the world and of your house if you let him be. But we don't let him. We have our own culture in our house where we tune in good classical, not this chaotic discord and like, you know, a storm at sea. It's always something really clashing and like fighting and war on some classical radio stations, FM stations, but we tune in good classical music. And I'm trying to think of, well, one of them is Pandora. Before, if you wanted to indulge in filth, I mean, that's one of the good ones. If you wanted to indulge in filth, you had to seek it out in some seedy street. But now with the media, programming, movies, and internet, you have to actively work to avoid filth that seeks you out. Modern machines say, bow down and worship me, and all this I will give to thee. Give me thy time, and I will give you my riches, says the media, and says Satan, who preaches to his followers, to his disciples. Sodomy sweeping into the Sabbath and Protestant and Christianity and flows into the Church of God, just as the churches are now filled with divorce and remarriage, and not scripturally according to Deuteronomy 22. And this is showing up in organized churches of God who are approaching sodomy as a behavior to be altered by counseling instead of a sin to be immediately and totally repented of. We live in a creation where everything around us is destructive and negative. Satan and his world and your own human nature are all negative, trying to murder us. On the other hand, there's only one source of positive spirit, only one source which gives life instead of death. We'll give you just one reason to keep the whole Feast of Unleavened Bread, because you're sick of this present evil world, and you're just going to bust out if you don't get away and spend that time with Yahweh for the 8 days of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. You know you're traveling through a dry and thirsty land, and no matter what, you're going to take the festival week to drink in the living water. Well, that reminds me of driving up here with my friend up the highway, and we saw the hills and then the snow-capped mountaintops as we got closer to the Three Sisters. And they looked so beautiful this time of year. And then the waterfalls are just... The waterfalls are just full of water this time of year. They're bursting. They're so beautiful. And it's a type of what Yahweh, through Yahusha the Savior, can send to us. The feasts and the Sabbaths are not ends in themselves. Keeping a feast or Sabbath is not just following a rule, one of the 613 laws of the Old Covenant. And in fact, I can't keep some of those 613 laws because some of them are only written to women. Keeping a festival and a Sabbath is spending time with our Creator, Yahweh. He is the end. When we talk about the end of the law or the goal of the law, Yahweh is the goal. The feast is just a means of getting to the goal. The feast is our special time to get with Him. And we're doing a very important program right now. It's reaching out around the world to a number of people who think this is very, very important to keep the feast days. And they want to hear some scripture and with authority. Well, the feast days were done away with. We can go to Galatians, right? And Mr. Swindle, Mr. Can't think right now of what that is. The easy believism, anyway. So we go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. And Paul says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up separated hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or pearls or costly array, but with good works. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man. Well, wait a minute. But to be in silence? Oh, wait a minute. Shouldn't it be 50-50? Oh, okay. This was back when women sat on one side of the room and men sat on the other, and that there was always no leadership, and they always sat on one side of the room and the women on the other. And so the woman would yell across the building to ask her husband what that meant. And that's why we don't have to keep the feast days, ladies and gentlemen. According to some of this perverted thinking, is just that women sat on one side and men, and we could commit adultery. We could you could use the same illogic to apply to anything. And everything seems to be destructive in a world. But if we go to the book of Acts, we can see. Okay, that's enough, please. Acts, and we counted almost a dozen places in the book of Acts where the feast days were being kept in Acts, and the Sabbath and the feast days are kept in there. And one of them is Acts chapter 12, and that should be a Sabbath reference there. And this is in about the year A.D. 35, so several years after the death, burial, and resurrection of the Messiah. And it says there in chapter 12, my dear friend, it says here that then were the days of unleavened bread. Acts chapter 12, verse 3. And Acts chapter 20, verse 6, we're going to kind of skip back and forth here, but that's up to 60 A.D., the year 60, in Acts 20. The Feast of Unleavened Bread, if it was done away with, here is Paul's golden opportunity to rebuke people for keeping these awful, terrible, legalistic bondage days of the Jews. But you know I'm only trying to, I don't believe that they're bondage or any of that stuff that I just said. I'm echoing what other people say about our feast, about your feasts, about Yahweh's feast. So Acts chapter 20, verse 6, and we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. And upon the first of the week, when the emissaries came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. So there's a reference for the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Other references are found in Acts 12:4. So back to Acts chapter 12:4, and when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to 4 quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Passover to bring him forth to the people. So here we are in the year 35 approximately, and it's incidentally the word Easter is Ashtoreth, a pagan goddess of sex, so we wouldn't use that word, but and they use Pascha is a Greek word, but Pesach or Pesach is the Hebrew word. Okay, and you have other references: Judges 2:13, 1 Samuel 7:3, 1 Samuel 12:10. Paul, was he the champion of liberalism, freeing us from the Jewish cocoon? Paul, let's go back there to chapter 20 again. In the book of Acts. And you can go all the way through here. And here's Paul's golden opportunity to remind people that they are under the law, not under grace, because they're keeping these awful Jewish feasts by celebrating Yahweh's commanded feasts. 1 Corinthians 5:7, Paul says, let us therefore keep the feast, not with the old leaven of malice and wickedness, but the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So that Paul said, now, didn't he tell them that the feasts were done away with? He says, I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward Yahweh and faith toward our sovereign, Yahusha the Messiah. That's Acts 20:20. So we got to be able to have perfect vision on that one. And then, verse 27. Now, has Paul told them everything yet? Oh, I thought he said that the feasts were bondage. No, He said, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of Yahweh. So any changes in the feast days would be included in that counsel. I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of Yahweh. So that's another one that you could use. Used to do what? To argue with Protestants that the feasts weren't done? No, I guess I shouldn't. We shouldn't be doing that because they're not going to listen anyways. I don't listen to you. I don't have to listen to anybody. We have no king. We have Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton over us. We have no king. We have no governor. But we have the great governor, and Messiah, our governor, in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And various other references as well. It says, he is the governor over all of us. And the increase of his government, there shall be no end. Not minimizing his government, but even as if it were, there would be no more laws to add to that I know of, but as if there would be continuous adding of laws. But there won't. I don't think there'd be that. It says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon... No, I thought the government done away with. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty Sovereign, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, of the increase... Not the decrease, but the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of Yahweh of armies will perform this. Yahweh sent a word unto Jacob, and it lighted upon Israel. All the people shall know, even Ephraim and the inhabitant of Samaria, they say in the pride and stoutness of their heart. Oh, my friends, who will rule over us? So one reason to keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread is that it's commanded. The feasts and Sabbaths are not ends in themselves, but the feast is for celebrating with Yahweh. We don't really need anything from the outside, man's ways, to pump up the feast or pump our spirits up. We need Yahweh's word. He says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of unmerited favor. In the Sabbath chapter, in Hebrews chapter 4, and verse 16, let us come boldly to the throne of unmerited favor. Now, we couldn't say enough bad about some of what's happened in some of the assemblies, the WCG, but we could never say enough good about the feasts. We observe the feasts because it's time with Yahweh. Time is the number one thing in our life. We're getting into all this idolatry. What do you mean? We're getting into it. We're there, but if we get away from spending time with programming and the media, etc., then we'll have time with Yahweh. We'll have time. We'll have more time if we obey Him. We'll have much more time with Yahweh, and to fellowship with brethren, and to have good sermons during the feast, and to enjoy the food there. For all of you, Feast of Tabernacles. Attend the first high day. Attend all days of the feast. This year we kept the feast beginning at Aviv 14 in the evening with a foot washing and the breaking of the bread and drinking of the wine representative of the body and blood of Messiah who shed his blood on the tree of Calvary about 2,000 years ago. So you have your weekly Sabbath, and you have your feast days. If you don't spend much time with your family and your children, the time you do spend with them will absolutely not be quality time. And people say, well, it's quality time. One of the great depictions of Satan's modern society is that phrase, quality time. The deception is that you don't need to spend a lot of time with your family or your children if the little time you do give them is quality time. But that's a double-edged lie. First of all, if you don't spend much time with your family and your children, the time you do spend with them will absolutely not be quality time. Strangers don't have quality time together. Quantity time makes quality time because you get to know one another. Secondly, there's no substitute for spending time with your family and children. There's no way sitting down for a few minutes before bedtime with a couple of memorized prayers is going to keep your whole family together. It's just not equivalent to spending a whole day with them. If you don't spend time with them, you all will suffer. Time, time, time. Many songs written by that title. And if you as a child do not spend time with your Heavenly Father, if we as Israel, or some say, well, we're the church, but anyway, whatever you call yourself, if we don't spend time with Yahweh, our relationship will be strained and won't be as close. The feasts are Yahweh's commanded festivals, to use a term, and Yahweh's commanded revivals, to take out a week from trivial pursuits to pursue the Tree of Life every 3 months, approximately. Of course, there's the Feast of Shavuot, or First Fruits, or Pentecost. And there's the Feast of Tabernacles in the seventh scriptural month. And they're a spiritual shot in the arm, a religious rejuvenation, a splash of sanity in an insane world. And it used to be that the end of Tabernacles was a little depressing for the worldwiders because it was a whole year to their next feast. Not so. It's only a few months until our next feast. Actually, it's only a few weeks until the next new moon, and it's a few days until the next Sabbath. So we get that's a feast day. The Sabbath is a feast day, if you look at Leviticus chapter 23. The United States and the United Kingdom are under attack by insane butchers. Seems like we sort of got ourselves into it. We didn't want Yahweh's govern his kingdom. We didn't want his laws. So either we'll be governed by Yahweh or by Yahweh we'll be governed. We'll be governed by our enemies. So that's just only academic. That war is a result of our disobedience to Yahweh's commandments and getting into idolatry, Sabbath breaking. See the book of Ezekiel, chapter 20. It may well be that all of us will have some trying times to face. So let's have a lot of oil in our lamps. Don't be like the foolish virgins, but be like the wise ones. And don't trust in oil from the Arabs, but trust in the oil from the Ruach HaKadosh, the Spirit of Yahweh. And these festivals, now, or feast days, I don't like the word festival so much. It sounds like some kind of a carnival. But the purpose of a new covenant feast day is for you to spend time with Yahweh, T-I-M-E. Not looking for a church leader for inspiration. Not looking to any man or woman for the meaning of your life, but going directly to the source of your life. And that's what the feast days mean to me. And you absolutely cannot afford to be without them. And one reason to keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread for the whole week, it's not technical or theological. Yes, it is. But it's a little bit technical, but not that much. And certainly, it is a matter of obeying Yahweh's Scripture, word for word, line upon line. But that one reason, because you want to spend that time with beloved Heavenly Father and our Messiah, is because we love Him. And we want Him to have preeminence and be sovereign over our lives, our time, our vacation life, everything. So, and we want to obey Him first and foremost and above all. Send your comments to Stephan Yah with a T, Stephan Yah, at yahweh.name. Shalom.